So it's probably a good idea for the World Health Organization to discourage smoking in the world.
Well,
but is a World No Tobacco Day a good idea anymore? Does it actually accomplish anything?
Well, I mean, that depends on what's actually happening on World Tobacco Day. I mean, people could actually use it to actually talk about how to get lower levels.
I mean, we're talking about addiction here. I mean, listen to nicotine addicts speaking in their own words.
There's no rationality here. It's not intellectually. I know it's bad for you. Everyone tells me how bad it is. I just can't quit.
That's our news editor, Javier Guzman, of course, explaining just how difficult it is for him. Listen to this listener. We actually heard from this fellow who I love earlier on in the program. Listen.
Charlie from Harrington Park, New Jersey. I love this. I love smoking. In fact, when they make it illegal, I'm going to become its rebel priest living in the hills, making converts. It's just not going away. Not for me, at least.
All right. Now, these two voices are not in any way to dispute or disparage or to dismiss the idea of World No Tobacco Day, but it does relate to the public health challenge going forward. At a certain point, the number of addicts that you can convince to quit goes down. I mean, you reach that point. There's sort of an upper ceiling there. The question then is, how do you further pursue a world health impact by reducing smoking, especially if smoking tobacco is actually legal everywhere in the world? Michael Siegel joins us, professor at the Boston University School of Public Health. Good morning, professor.
Good morning.
You know, this is a curious public health problem in the sense that there's widespread understanding that this is bad for you, but it's also almost universally legal. In that situation, there's a limit to what a World Health Organization or a World No Tobacco Day is going to be able to do here, right?
Well, it's a very difficult problem because any other substance that caused this much harm would simply be banned. And we have, as a society, made a decision that we're not going to ban tobacco. We're going to allow it. So how do you regulate a product? How do you try to get people not to use a product when, if it were any other consumer product, it would be banned? It's a very unusual situation.
Can you just go through the history of how we have managed to regulate, really in this generation up until now, where we've reached a point where the low-hanging fruit is no longer available to us?
Well, over the last 40 years, we've seen tremendous declines in smoking rates. And a lot of this has been spurred by interventions such as smoke-free regulations, increased taxes, counter-advertising campaigns like the Truth Campaign. But over the last decade, we're starting to see a plateau of the smoking rates. They're going down, but very slightly now. And I think part of the problem is that the resistant smokers are, you know, we've kind of gotten the easy smokers to quit, the ones who are pretty motivated to begin with. But those who are not motivated and who are a lot more difficult to reach are the ones who are really resistant. And so, you know, how do you reach those smokers? It's really a difficult question.
We're speaking with Michael Siegel, professor at Boston University School of Public Health. But Michael, there must be a lower number of truly resistant smokers than now. I mean, according to the WHO, the World Health Organization, more than 15,000 people die every day because they use tobacco. And that doesn't include people who die because of complications from secondhand smoke. I mean, that number, that threshold of these are the certain number of people that are going to smoke no matter what, must be lower than what it is now.
Well, I think, you know, there's kind of a misperception that there is such thing as a completely resistant smoker. And I think the fallacy is that if you are if our anti-smoking campaigns are effective enough, we should be able to reach the majority of people. The problem really is that we don't have an effective smoking cessation strategy. The medications that are out there, like Chantix and nicotine replacement therapy, have a success rate of only about 8%.
Now, is part of that because they don't really replace the other sort of cosmetic elements of smoking, the sort of style and sort of fashion elements of I mean, you know, no amount of lozenges is going to make you as cool as, you know, somebody who's, you know, lighting up and looking macho. And I'm not a smoker, so it doesn't affect me at all. But I sort of understand the fashion issue here.
Well, I think you've hit on the key point, which is that smoking is not just an addiction to nicotine. It's also a behavioral addiction and a social addiction. There are other aspects to it. And when you put a nicotine patch on, it doesn't simulate smoking behavior. It doesn't satisfy those physical stimuli, the behavioral stimuli. So I think the direction we really need to go is finding a product that simulates smoking behavior and delivers nicotine, but in a clean form. And an example of this would be something like the electronic cigarette. An electronic cigarette is a battery-powered device that delivers nicotine, but there's no tobacco whatsoever. In fact, there's no smoke. And it's interesting because the World Health Organization itself, which is sponsoring this World No Tobacco Day, has actually called for a ban on the electronic cigarette, which is kind of ironic because you would think that an organization that's dedicated to trying to eradicate smoking would want to promote devices that help smokers quit.
So as a doctor or as a professor at a public health school at Boston University, is addiction to nicotine less of a health problem than the sort of degradation of the lungs due to inhaling smoke?
Well, there's no question. I mean, it's not the addiction that kills people. It's the smoke. It's the smoke that contains the carcinogens. It's the smoke that contains the agents that cause heart disease and lung disease. Now, you know, obviously nicotine is not safe, and it's not something that you would want a non-smoker to try. But if you have a comparison or a choice between somebody who is trying to quit and just can't do it and somebody who has this electronic product available to them that simulates smoking, I'd much rather that the person maintain their addiction to nicotine but not be inhaling smoke.
Now, that may be a nice preference on your part, but what is the chance that you're going to have any more success with the electronic cigarette than you would have had with the patch or the lozenge, none of which have appeared in movies, as far as I can tell?
Well, I think that the reason why this device or things like it have a chance of success is that they don't just address the pharmacologic addiction. They also address the physical sensation, the behavioral aspect, and even the social aspect of the addiction. And therefore, I think we should be promoting these types of products and these types of strategies rather than trying to ban them.
All right. Michael Siegel is professor at the Boston University School of Public Health, talking about the World Health Organization's World No Tobacco Day and the difficult challenges ahead for getting the hardcore addicts. Michael, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And we've been getting some advice from our listeners. Steven writes on Facebook, "I quit smoking by giving up one cigarette at a time, most importantly, the first one of the day. The longer you postpone that first cigarette, the closer you get to quitting. Eventually, you go a full day without smoking and then another and so on. All it takes is discipline and a very real desire to kick the habit." And that there's the rub, Steven. A listener in Brookline, Massachusetts texts us, "Took years of stopping, longer each time. What mattered most was prohibiting it in bars. Without a sexy babe tempting me after drinks, it was easy."
Hmm.
Yeah.
Lose the sexy babe.
Sexy babe with the cigarette.
Although they do say that the bans in public places have had an impact on what Michael was talking about, the social
impact,
elements.
Yeah, stronger social impact element than the high price of cigarettes even. Tell us what has helped you quit, even what has not helped at all. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I am non-smoker Celeste Headley.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.